My name is Greg Donnelly. I've been here before a few times. I remember a guy saying one time, blessed are the brief, talking about speakers. Blessed are the brief, for they shall be invited back. So I must have been brief the last time I was here, so I'm back, but it's great to be here too. I'm a pastor, one of the pastors at the Alexandria Covenant Church, and so drove here today. It was a nice drive. The roads are pretty clean and no ice and all that, so it was kind of a peaceful drive, but it's a great church to come to. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the prayer of Jabez. Remember that book came out, just a little book from Bruce Wilkinson, and came out about 20-some years ago. And so I got thinking about that, and I thought, well, what's a good way to kind of start the year off? And so I pulled the old book out and looked at the Bible, and I thought, this will work. So we'll see at the end. Maybe I'll never get invited back again, but we'll see how this works. So let me pray as I get started here. Heavenly Father, we do want to just thank you for the fact that you are, the Lord himself will be with you and will, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Lord God, I just pray that would be true for all of us. And there's just a lot in that verse. And thanks for Katie doing that with the kids, but it also for us adults. And so we just want to pray right now that we'll open up our hearts to the living word. And we just pray that as we read the word, that it would affect us in a way that would make such a difference in our lives, that today is going to make a difference. So, Lord, we just want to commit this time to you, and I thank you for this church body. It's great being back again. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would use me as a simple messenger this morning. And we pray this together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people believe that if you can't sleep some night, just get out of bed and get the Bible open to 1 Chronicles, starting in chapter 1. First nine chapters have about 500 names, and so if you're having trouble sleeping, just go through the names. There are a lot of hard names to pronounce, but just go through that. You'll be back in bed in no time, sleeping once again. But you can't sleep now, and we're going to go, not all these names, but turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're just going to read two verses, so it's not going to be very long here, the reading, but very good stuff. So I don't know if it's on the screen. Nope. Okay. If you got your Bibles, 1 Chronicles, as someone would say, I see little puffs of dust coming up because you haven't been in Chronicles for a long time. So here it is. Okay, there's 40 names from verses 1 through verse 8, but I'm not going to go through those. But just simply the name Jabez. All right, so it starts off like this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, that is what usually happens. It's a painful experience, even though it's a joyful experience once it's done. But here it is. I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, it sounds like kind of a selfish prayer, doesn't it? Bless me and keep me from harm and me, 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 me. But the last part says, and God granted his request. So it really wasn't selfish of what he was praying. But let's just think about these points here that I'm going to put together. We don't know why his mother named him Pain. Anybody but with the first name of Pain here? I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody if that's your first name. But here's the situation. It says his mother had named him Jabez, and that's the Hebrew, what that means is pain. There was something about pain here. And for whatever reason, you know, it could have been where the father deserted or the father died or something that reminded her, the mother, of him. And so he reminded her of some kind of a pain issue. So we don't understand. But here we are, we're reading this thing here, all these names, and all of a sudden this just kind of is like a shooting star, Jabez. It's just, we don't know anything about him before, and then after this thing is gone. We don't know anything about him, but we'll try to learn from him as we go through this. God singled out this man. And there's nothing unusual about him except his name. But what he desires, and he's willing to pay the price for what he desires. And that's the key thing here. So let's just look at this for a minute. Number one, he asked God to bless him. Now, the application is always, as you read it, how does it apply to me? So you can say this, Lord, bless me. I know it sounds selfish, but just hang with me for a minute. Lord, bless me. Point number one is that God would bless us. Now, when we talk about blessing, if someone goes, achoo, what do you usually say? Bless you. Now, why do we say that? The definition basically is this. It's supernatural favor. So when someone goes, achoo, and you say, bless you, you're kind of saying, well, may God's supernatural favor be on you. I don't know if it ties in or not. So you can say what you want when someone sneezes. But here it is. He's saying, God, bless me. That's his prayer. It's a very short prayer. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. And just the word crying out is this. It's desperation. You know, you're tired of the way things are going. You're tired of your walk with God, whatever it might be. You're tired of something, and you're desperate. You want a change. That's Jabez saying, God, the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. Bless me. Now, I'm going to read just a short thing from Psalm 81. If you want to reference that, you can, but just listen to these words. I'm just going to start at verse 10. I'll read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter, which is six verses. But listen to what the Lord says. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. Now, we're talking about a nation here, but we can also talk about this as our individual lives. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if they would simply listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment will last forever. But you, Israel, would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. So God is saying, I want to bless you. I want to do this. But you have to submit to me. Just a little side note here. I'm going to read this here. It says, Psalm 81 is a powerful expression of the Father's heart. He longs for fellowship with his people, pleading with them if they would only turn back to him. He very much wants to bless his people, to give them the finest of wheat with honey from the rock. But he knows that he cannot do it. His people are disobedient. Blessing at this point would only encourage them to be further in sin. Now, if your kids are not obedient to you as parents, now, if your kids are not obedient to you, you don't want to do good things for them. You want to, but you can't, because then it would be simply an endorsement of the way they're behaving is it's being rewarded. Same principle here. So here is Jabez saying, God, would you please bless my life? Now, we cannot ask God to bless our lives when we're living in sin. But we're asking here, is for a closer walk with Him. There's this, I saw this one time, it says, what was said of a certain person, and maybe you know a certain person like this, or you yourself. Anyway, here's what it said. It said they died at age 30 and were buried at age 70. And what has happened is someone has just basically given up in their dream. And what we're talking about here, this is what I titled my message, Daring to Dream Again. Daring to Dream Again. But it says here, he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we don't know anything about his brothers. We don't know anything about this hardly at all. But the principles are all here. All right, so first of all, he's crying out. He says, God, bless my life. He's more honorable than his brothers. Don't you think his brothers would like to have some supernatural favor on them? Everybody wants to be blessed, don't they? I mean, please curse me. We don't say that. But it's please bless me. And so here it is. But the thing is, the brothers were not willing to pay the price. You know, how many of us love to have full-time blessings, but only giving part-time obedience? But it doesn't work that way. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Why will He give you the desires of your heart? Because as you're delighting in the Lord, these are the Lord's desires too, and they match together. And so, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Here's another one. This is from Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says this, commit your way unto the Lord, and He will make your plans succeed. Why will these succeed? Because you've committed yourself unto the way of the Lord. Now, this is not a name it, claim it type of theology I'm talking about here. This is not a like the prosperity gospel, you know, God wants everyone rich and healthy and all that kind of stuff and things of this world. It's not that type of thing at all, but it's simply where our walk with the Lord is deepening. Because we want to be blessed. And that's not wrong. And that's, remember, God granted His request. So God honored that prayer. First of all, what is the first point? Point number one. Ask God to, we can be a little participatory here now. That's okay. That's right. All right. We want God to bless our lives. Okay, point number one. We want God to bless me. Let's just say that. Let's go first, personal pronoun. God bless me. Okay. We'll stick with that till I get you a little fired up here. Okay. Secondly, ask God to enlarge your territory. I'll explain that. So here's Jabez. He says, bless me and enlarge my territory. We don't know what he was. Farmer, rancher, we don't know what he was. But he's asking for more influence, that God would enlarge what he's doing and have his blessing upon it. That God would use him wherever and whenever. He wants to be, or we want to be, a more effective servant for him. This is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. It's talking there about if a man no longer is mastered by sin and has worked against sin and stuff like that. And it says this, he will be then an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. All right, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. He will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, Jabez gets a little more specific, even though we don't know the details. It could have been, like I said, we don't know, he could have been a politician, he could have been a businessman, but he's saying, I just want my influence to enlarge itself and to be where I can have more influence on more people. That's not a bad prayer, because it's, you know, when you think about blessing, God's blessing, think about it as kind of a general concept, kind of a general, you know, large umbrella. But now it's getting a little more specific. Enlarge my territory. What I do for a living, whatever it might be, enlarge my territory, my influence. Prosper my efforts in life, business, politics, spirituals, whatever. Now, a maturing Christian is one who doesn't have the secular here and the sacred here, that type of thing. Or what I'm like in public is one thing, but what I'm like at home, private, it's a different thing. But a maturing Christian is a person that puts it all together wherever he's at. Years ago, when I graduated from high school, three of us went up to Minneapolis. I'm from Fairmont, Minnesota. That's my hometown. Well, we drove up to Minneapolis, and we were looking around for some work. We didn't know the city or anything, but we saw this thing about labor union, and we thought, let's go there. You know, labor, you know, work, you know, we thought, yes. Anyway, so we walked in there, and the door was open. We walked in there, and no one's around, no reception or anything. And then we heard voices, so we kind of walked back here and said, well, let's go check this out. So we heard these voices, and we got closer. They got louder and louder and louder, and I was like, man, there's a bunch of fighting in there or something. Anyway, so I opened the door, and walked in, and it was a boardroom. And some of these guys are smoking on cigars, you know, stogies, you know, a big stogie sticking out of their mouth. And you could just see that it was one of those back room arguments they were having. Some labor union was talking with some company or something, and they were just ripping on each other. And then we walked in, and they stopped. And one guy got up and said, well, can I help you fellas? Well, we're here to look for a job. 18 years old, you know, you don't know what you're doing, but you think you do. Anyway, so, and then they said, well, you know, you could try this, da, 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 and then they kind of, thanks for coming, you know, and shoot us out. But I'll never forget that picture of that group, and you could just see almost their blood vessels popping on their foreheads when we first walked in, because they were just like this. But here was I read this story about a labor union negotiator. So he's the one that's kind of trying to bring the two sides together. That's a tough job. But this guy, he would start off his meetings like this. Now, I mean, you talk about Jimmy Hoffa. Remember Jimmy Hoffa? You older folks? Okay. Anyway, so Jimmy Hoffa, that real tough, you know, murderous group of people sometimes. I mean, it's real tough. But anyway, he started his meetings like this. He said, my name is so-and-so, and I don't represent either one of you, but I'll be the mediator here. He said, but I always start off with prayer. Now, that's a tough group to start off with prayer with, but he did it. And people reported later on, they said, things went so smooth. Now, here's a man who wasn't like, you know, public and then private and secular and sacred, but his life was just, it just oozed out of him of what he was like. And I always thought about that. Well, here it is. Make our influence stronger. Enlarge my territory, kind of like this negotiator, that type of thing. And remember, we have permission to pray this way. God, would you extend my influence? Now, Jeremiah was imprisoned when he received this challenge from the Lord. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know of. Now, when you're sitting in a jail cell or however he was in prison, you know, it's not the most conducive place to thinking that God's really going to do something. But this is the Lord speaking to him. Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, ask and you shall be given. Okay. Seek and you shall find. You're coming now. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Okay. Now, it's literally keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's another invitation. Here's another one from James. You do not have because you do not ask. Okay. Here's another one from Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, sounds like a benediction. It's not. Don't get excited now. It's not a benediction. But now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or think. according to his power that is at work in us. Now, those are invitations that God would do greater things in us. Now, let me ask a question. What gets you excited? I mean, what pulls your trigger? What gets you really excited? Is it working with young people? Is it working with older people? Now, I'm a pastor to the older group, the seniors, 65 and above. I always call them the wonder group. They wonder why they went down the basement. They can't remember why they're down the basement. Huh? I wonder where I left the keys. I wonder where I left my reading glasses, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, that's the wonder group. But whatever group gets you excited, whatever, however you've served, however you've done it, dare to dream again. You know, some of you, I tell this to our group occasionally, if you're not dead, you're not done. In other words, God can use you. And so think about ways maybe in the past, I'll pretend I'm talking to seniors now. Now think about when you used to serve, why did you quit? Were you saying, I'll let the young people do it, you know, I've done my time. You know, it sounds like a prison sentence. I've done my time. But when you enjoy what you do, why quit? Keep doing it. I knew some pastors that were in there, believe it or not, it was kind of a church plant, but like 75, 80, they were the youth pastors. Greg, think about what you can do just all the years from now. You shuffle in and talk to the kids and that stuff. But think about things that you used to do and you enjoyed it. Why quit, though? And maybe it is time, you know, to pass the baton on, but influence the younger people. Take time to teach and say, well, here's what I used to do, and this seemed to work for me, and it may not work for you, but here's an idea. But influence one another. Don't hang up those boots. Keep working. Keep serving. There's a lot we can do. Volunteerism is so important to a church. So whatever your age, volunteer and get involved. And let God expand you. All right, let's go on further. So you're asking God to enlarge your territory, enlarge your influence. Third point, ask for God's hand of empowerment. All right, so let's go through the list. God bless me. Okay. All right. God enlarge my territory. Okay. Now it's God, would you please empower? Empower me to do the job that you want me to do. Now, what happens is as your territory expands or you're back to doing things, you're back to volunteering again, and you're working again, you're doing things. Your territory expands out. God begins to stretch the opportunities, and we realize that we can't do it without his help. And we begin a deeper dependence on him. For we know if he's not going to make it happen, it's for sure a failure. So you want to be in those, it's a good situation to be because you become dependent. And when you're dependent, you are praying like crazy because you don't know what's coming next. But that's the best place to be. It really is. Now, some of you are saying, I got five kids and they're all mommy, 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 mommy all day long. And you're going all the time. And you're thinking, how can I take on more things? But what happens is when he expands our territory, we make better use of our time. We do. Where needed, we can delegate better, and we can use our time better. And it works out so well. There's Bruce Wilkinson wrote this little book, as I said, The Prayer of Jabez. He says, you could call God's hand on you the touch of greatness. Now, you do not become great, but he becomes great through you. Because you realize, God has empowered me to do this. And so you're not getting this superiority complex where it's like, I'm better than you. God's using me more than you. You know, that stuff. That's not the way it operates. You do not become great. You become dependent on the strong hand of God. Now, Billy Graham, really, I think, was a very great example of this. He always said, "There's nothing great about me, but there's a lot of prayer for me. And for whatever reason, I'm just an old dairy farmer from North Carolina. But God used him in great ways because he was humble enough that God could use him." So here's this man praying these prayers. And it says, God granted his request. I'm saying that again and again. I know it sounds a little redundant. Yeah, I got it. But anyway, it's the idea that these prayers are good. They're healthy. Here's another one. Ask God for protection from harm. Okay, that's the last point. Ask God for protection from harm. So he says this. I want you to bless me, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. In other words, empower me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from, his own name, pain. I'll be free from pain. What he's talking about here is think about this. When people become successful, there's an easiness to become very prideful if you don't acknowledge where your success came from. So a person can become very successful, but then pride can set in. Listen to this. This is about King Uzziah. King Uzziah, he was a king who became king at age 16. And I call him the teen king. But anyway, this man did very well. But it says this in 1 Chronicles 26, verse 16. It says this. I think I'll read it here. This little thing, this is kind of a small little thing up here, sliding off here. But it says this. But after Uzziah, the king, after Uzziah became king and he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. Now that's a sad situation. You know, how the mighty have fallen is because they became so prideful. And they forgot to say, God has enabled me to be able to do this. That's what needs to be said and believed. Now, let me just make some applications here. Oh, one more thing. This thing about protection from harm. Success brings greater opportunities for failure, for pride paves the way for a fall. And yet, Jabez is praying for this and saying, protect me. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. The pain of, I wish I didn't say that, I wish I didn't do that, and, you know, the business has collapsed, you know, whatever's going on, because you just became so full of pride. But think about the portion from the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right. Now, here's the point on this. Run from what you know is wrong. You know, if you suffer from gluttony, don't wander into the bakery and say, oh, that donut looks good. Oh, that donut looks good. Oh, why am I here? Well, I better buy one. You know, I don't want to make her mad. Yeah, give me a dozen of those donuts. And you slowly walk home. Okay, so don't get close to things, you know, that turn you on. Don't play with this with stuff like that. That ruins your walk with God. Don't do it. Run away from it. Don't say, well, you know, you got to be strong, so you got to fight against. Yeah, you got to fight against temptation. That happens all the time. But don't let yourself wander into things where you know you're going to be tempted. You got a boyfriend, and he's cute, and he's a sweet guy, and he wants to do what he should not do with you. Don't let them, don't wander into this stuff. Say, you know, whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. Be careful. Be very careful. Run, and says in 2 Timothy, flee youthful desires. Don't sit and argue and say, well, you know, if I did this and this and this, I wouldn't fall. So there, no, just run. Get away from stuff that will cause you to do it. Are you with me on that? Okay, don't try to be macho and I can fight this, you know. Just run. That's the smartest thing to do. Okay, so that's his prayer. Look, keep me from harm. Keep me from harm and free from pain. All right. Now, here's a couple. There is an application here. So putting this together, think about where you're at. Contentment versus complacency. Now, there's two different words. Contentment, to be content, and to be complacent. Okay, contentment is something you work toward. Like Paul would say, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. So it's something you want to learn. It's a process, but it's always something we have to learn, to be content. I mean, you can have a great day, and then at the end of the day, you hear about so-and-so gets a promotion at work, and it didn't come to you. Well, what happens then? You lose your contentment. Someone said, contentment makes a poor man rich, and discontentment makes a rich man poor. All right. Contentment is something we all can work at. Here's some thoughts here. A contentment would say, God has given me such and such gifts. I enjoy doing that, and as I enjoy doing that, I'm using my gift. Okay, so sometimes, and younger people, maybe you don't know what your gifts are. Discover, develop, deploy, or to use. And you say, okay, God, you've given me these gifts, and I'm going to use these gifts as best I can, and I'm not going to be jealous of anybody else, but I'm going to be content. But I'm not going to be content in the sense I'm going to just kind of lay on the couch all the time and munch on chocolates. But it's where you work at it, you strive, you pray, God, use me, and you can do the prayer of Jabez if you want on that. But the idea is this. Contentment is good, but complacency is, whatever, you know, who cares? Kind of that smug satisfaction. You know, you're older now, you're a senior citizen, you're in my small group or something like that, and you're going, yeah, whatever, I used to do that years ago, but not anymore. You know, it's just kind of that smugness. You don't want complacency. So ask yourself, am I truly a contented person or am I a complacent person? And then the second thing is this. Get somebody you trust and say, you know what? I was at church yesterday. I heard this Donnelly guy from Alexandria, kind of a goofball, but nevertheless, I heard him and he said something that one thing stuck with me. And that is, I really should be asking God to do more with my life. And so, could you keep me accountable? And get an accountability partner. It really helps. Yesterday I was at a family gathering, and we had the meal, and then we had the desserts, and you know the cookies come out, all the wonderful junk food comes out. And so I'm thinking, and here I am working on this, and I'm thinking, I got to knock off the sugar in my life. So 20, 22, less sugar. Okay, great. So I'm there, and I'm looking at these cookies, I'm thinking, I don't want to hurt the baker and think that I don't want their stuff. You know, I rationalize stuff. So I'm looking at these and, oh, that looks good. And then the guy sitting a couple seats over says, well, this year I'm going to try to cut back on my sugar consumption. So no, thank you. And you know what? I thought, he did it. I can do it. And I only had one cookie. I think, are you proud of me? Okay. I was really proud. Forgive me, Lord, if I was too proud, but I was just, you know, conscious of it. But here's the thing. When someone else does it, it gives you strength. That's why we need one another. We're better together. All right, so do that. And then just the simple procedure. Go to 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and read his prayer and say, what are you going to say in the prayer? Number one is to bless me. Number two is enlarge my territory. Okay, increase. Third one was to empower me. And the last one is to protect me. Amen? Now, there's no magic formula, but the principles are here. It's good. And once again, how does that last verse end? And God granted his request. All right. Try it for 30 days. and then say, this is good. I'm going to try for another 30 days. And then you just keep going on, and finally you say, hey, this is my lifestyle. But what happens is, you know, we're not perfect people, so when we blow it, we feel really bad about it. Whereas before, it's like, whatever, you know, the complacency. But once you get more in tune with the Lord, you're more sensitive to the movement of the Spirit. And God uses you in wonderful ways. So I'm going to close, but thanks for tuning in and listening. So let me pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each person. And I pray that however you're speaking to them, Jesus, I just pray, God, that you would touch their lives. And Lord, as I come in, I'm just excited about this stuff and did the work on this, but I just thank you for someone like Jabez, who will meet in heaven. For anyone, there'll be a lot of people will meet in heaven, but somewhere along the line, Jabez will be in line and we'll get introduced to him. But thank you for his prayer and his desire and his willingness to put him out there and say, God, please do something in my life. I'm dry. It just seems like a bowl of shredded wheat in the desert. And just dull. But Lord, fire us up. And Lord, use us. And thank you in advance for what you're going to do in people's hearts. And Lord God, I just want to pray that we would recognize for anyone here that has never truly received you as their Savior. God, I just pray that they'll realize they cannot work their way into heaven. They aren't good enough to do it. None of us are. But thank you for what Christ has done. As we go into the Lord's Supper, it's where you shed your blood for our sins. And Lord, may we never lose the appreciation of that. But for someone who has never received you, may they turn from their sins and recognize their need for you and receive you as their Savior, that they would be born again. And so we just thank you for how you love us and you work with us. But Lord, I just pray for anyone who doesn't know you, may they recognize this is the good news, because the bad news is so bad. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and everyone wants to go to heaven. But Lord, I just pray for each person here that they know you, anyone listening online, that they would receive you too. But thanks for this time together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.